Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we glorify you. I just thank you for being my Father. I thank you that I am not fatherless. We are not fatherless. Lord, fathers are so important, and they have such an impact in our lives. And it's fathers from whom we get our identity. And we thank you, Lord, that no matter how we grew up, no matter what we went through, we get our identity from you. You are our identity. And so today we put our trust and reliance on you. Lord, I humble myself before you. I don't know anything apart from what you teach me by your Spirit. I am unlearned. I've never been to theology school, but you've taught me by your Spirit. And I ask that out of my love relationship with you, my love relationship with my wife, my time with you, that I would minister from that well. Speak through me to your people, that they would get answers that they need, that I would bullseye the matters of the heart, that I would speak into situations that I'm not even aware of by the leading of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your word will be powerful and relevant in Jesus' name. Get all the glory, and let those on the fringes that are ready to quit be encouraged. Let those that are unsaved come to know you today. And I thank you, Lord, that I will be a pure vessel pouring the oil from heaven into the earth realm. In Jesus' name we pray. I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. All that agree, shout hallelujah and amen. Amen. I will not be before you long. Give me just about 10 or 5 more minutes than that. And then I'm going to go ahead and have my seat. Amen. All right. So I want to welcome you to sermon 3 of our series here, and it is called, what is it called? Fix My Family. Fix My Family. Have we been having a great time in this series? Praise the Lord. I was told that over 71 CDs sold last Sunday. That means people are hungry for the word and they're ready to hear what God is saying. Amen. Because family is important. Somebody say family is important. Amen, amen. Family is important. And so if you were not here last week, I'm just going to review just a couple of slides to kind of pick you up on where we are. But trust me, you need the full CD to really hear about what I'm talking about. Amen. And so this month of June, we've been dealing with men and their importance and what their role is and what the Bible has to say, because we live in a season, in a society where they are trying to rearrange and redefine family and roles. Amen. Anybody with me on that? And we're in a very crucial season in America, and I believe in the world as a whole, but particularly America, and especially California, where that if we don't watch it, we're going to go off course. It's quiet in this house. We're going to go off course, and we don't want to go off course. If our nation is going to change, if our communities are going to change, it's going to start with families. It's going to start with the family unit. All these crazy kids that we have out here, young men, of course, young men that don't know who they are, daughters that are dressed like prostitutes at 14, and it's quiet. That shows either the absence of a father or a father that is voiceless. Because there's just certain things, fellas, am I telling the truth? There's certain things we just don't tolerate, right? I have 3 daughters, and you know, when they leave the house, I let them know, I remind them whose child they are. And if I see any other behavior outside of what I have taught you, I know where to find you. And so when they leave, I let them know, like my father told me, my name is Pops, not because I'm your dad. My name is Pops because I could pop up anywhere. Pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop. All right. So somebody say we need fathers. But things have changed, and so let's find out why. Let's get into the word here. Let's quickly review. We were talking about how Adam, how God said it's not good for man to be alone, and so he created for him a helpmeet, a helpmate. But in the King James, it's helpmeet, and we found out what that word means, someone who gives help in time of need, distress, or difficulty. So man had a problem. That problem was loneliness, so God's solution was a woman. Ladies, say, I'm an answer to a problem. Look at your husband and say, I'm your answer. It's quiet in here. Let him know, I'm your answer. Fellas, if she's not here, say, she's my answer. And some of y'all fellas are still looking for an answer. Amen. All right. It's all right. So someone who gives help in time of needs, distress, or difficulty. And so this is what her job was originally. We're talking about the original intent that God had when he created a man and a woman. Amen? All right, let's go to our next slide here. So we begin to find out what God's order. So he created man and gave him identity. Then he next created the garden, which was his job. And then he gave him a wife, which created his family. You see God's order there? Right? And so I still believe that's order. A man ought to know who he is. Then a man should know what he's supposed to do. And then he should look for a wife. He should not look for a woman and then figure out who he is and then go try to find a job. And I believe that that's the problem with a lot of family units right now, because we're out of God's order, right? You're not looking for someone to complete you. You're not looking for somebody to complete you. That's wrong. No, if you're looking for somebody to complete you, when it comes to human relationships, two halves don't make a whole. Two wholes make one. And the problem is that we're looking, fellas, for women to make up for what mom and dad didn't give us. And so they have to teach us. And this is why we got a lot of wives still mothering and a lot of fathers still fathering. Because we're broken people, and we spent time on video games and hanging out and talking about how pretty your eyes were instead of doing self-development to fix the things that are broken. We don't even recognize that we're broken until we get in a relationship sometimes. Because we've never sat under teaching. We've never had someone in our life to tell us, no, get your attitude together. No, you shouldn't act like that just because she's acting like that. Come on now. This is, you know, when you don't have people in your life to tell you you're wrong. If you've never had a fix your face conversation, let me just help you out. For those of you who don't know, maybe from another culture, it's all right. We just had this thing in my culture where it's called fix your face. That's when you're sitting there and you got an attitude and company's around and you didn't like what your mama said, and they walk by and say, fix your face before I fix it for you. Everybody with me now? Fix your face. My dad used to walk by and say, do you need my help? Do you need my assistance? My mother, she had this thing, and she would just flash five. We knew what that meant. That means I'm gonna smack you five times if you don't get it together. So all this cutting up in grocery stores and things and kids running around, I never experienced that. I would look at that in awe. I would look at kids running, I'm like, wow. I wonder what it's like to rebel. It was like going to the zoo. Like, wow. Look, mommy, rebellious kids. Right? Because we couldn't get away with that. And so we learned, because J. Michael, he used to get this. And I would sit outside the door and count and make sure he got them all. Nope, you forgot one. But I thank God for that discipline. I thank God for that order in my life, because it made me the man that I am today. Amen? And praise God. And some of us were fortunate enough to have strong father and female figures in our life. And some of us, we weren't so fortunate, but that's all right. Somebody say it's all right. Somehow you still made it here. God still kept you. He still protected you. Amen. He still had a plan and a purpose for your life. And what I have found out, whatever doesn't kill you becomes a part of your anointing. Whatever didn't take you out adds to your strength. And sometimes those stories of overcoming, God gives you those badges of honor. So there's, because there's other people like you, and they may not hear from me, but they'll hear from you. And that's why I let these other men minister, because they had different stories of places where they came from, where men could relate to them. Amen? We're still in the review. All right, let's keep going. We found out that there is this curse placed upon a woman, which was a desire to control her husband. Like I said, you need to get the CD. All right, get the CD. Don't be like, what? She said, get the CD. Did we teach it? Did we break it down in the Word? All right, it's right there in the Scripture. So I want you to, so one of those curses was that innate desire to lead rather than follow. And but women are great, wonderful, awesome creatures that God created to help us, to support us, to help us in times of need and distress, as we just read what help meet means. But we found out what you get from your wife depends upon what you stir up in her. Right? And you feel like she's a Dr. Jekyll, but that's because that's what you stir up. And so we found out laziness in a man stirs up the curse in a woman. A man with no plan is going to frustrate a wife. Since you don't have a plan, let me make one for you. Since you don't know where we're going, let me drive. This is why she always has directions, even though she's not driving. Right? She don't know east from west, but she's like, I feel it's this way. All right, is that my last one, dear? Or do I got one more? All right. We found out that Hebrew word for desire was the word either run over or run after. So if you play with her emotions, she'll run after you. But if you play with her future, she'll run over you. Don't, wives, look at them and say, don't play with my future. Don't play with me. Don't play. Because we found out that women don't want to be on a never-ending adventure of what we're going to eat today. They want to know, hey, the bed is not going to be rolling. People are not going to be knocking at our door trying to take our stuff. Yeah. Ladies, amen? They want stability. Amen. I want to encourage you once again to get last week's CD so you can connect all this. This is just a quick review. All right. So let's go to Genesis 2 and 18. Last week's message subtitle, the whole series is called Fix My Family. Last week's message subtitle was A Man with a Plan. And today's message, I would subtitle, I Work Alone. I Work Alone. We won't have to go through all this because we know that most of us know the Bible in Genesis when God was creating the heavens and the earth, right? He created the sun, the moon, the stars, and what have you. And then he gets to a part in Genesis 1 and 26 where he says, let us make man in our image and let's create them male and female, right? And then he blesses them and tells them to have dominion over all the earth and what have you. And then that's when they were born in the spirit. But in Genesis 2 and 7, that's when he actually forms Adam's body, right? That's where he forms Adam's body. Everybody with me? So he had his spiritual birthday in Genesis 1 and 26, and then he had his natural birthday in Genesis 2 and 7, just like you and I. We were spirits in heaven before we got this physical shell, all right? After that, he puts Adam, he creates Adam and what have you. And then he says in Genesis 2 and 18, he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. Y'all see that? Say it with me. It's not good for a man to be alone. And then it says, I will make him a helper comparable, or in other words, an exact counterpart. So man was formed, we found out last week, but a woman was engineered and designed. In other words, he just slapped you together, fellas. You were distressed. You were just molded and shaped, and he made you to handle distress, right? Again, get last week's message. But a woman he specifically engineered as a direct counterpart for the man. A helper comparable to him. And then it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would do, right? To see what he would call them. Now, isn't it interesting? He says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll create a comparable helper, but he doesn't create Eve. He begins to create animals. because they're actually helpers too. They just weren't comparable. Stay with me. So he says, he brings them to Adam to see what he would call them. So Adam would named all the animals. It says, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that's what its name was, okay? And that word called is the word for proclamation, preaching, or prophesying. That word called is the word for proclamation, preaching, or prophesying, all right? And it says, so Adam gave what? Names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him, which means he was looking. Right? And, you know, we'll leave it there. Okay, so Adam gave names to cattle, all right? So Adam, catch this, when God created Adam and he created man, he was perfect. He just had one problem. Something was missing. He was in perfect relationship with God, but the problem was his relationship with God was in the heavenly realms. But Adam lived where? On earth. So there was some earthly needs that a man would have that obviously God was not going to solve for him. Stay with me. That's the problem with a lot of our marriages, especially Christians. We're so high up in the sky with all this spiritual stuff, and we don't meet natural earthly needs. Yeah. Right? Amen. Like show up on time, don't lie, pay bills, be nice, be polite, be considerate. And then when your wife confronts you, you want to say, well, let's go pray about it. No. All right, so check it out. So he had a problem. That problem was loneliness, and so a woman was going to be the ultimate answer to that problem. So here it says, what I wanted to say is his problem was he was what? Alone. And so when God created man, he never intended for him to be alone. He created a woman to be the ultimate solution to that problem. So his original intention for man was to be social. We're talking about men. The gender, men, not mankind. We're talking about men, Adam, right? It says that God obviously intended for Adam to be social, interactive, and relational with the woman and with all of God's creation. Y'all with me? Y'all see that there? Because those helpers were animals. That's part of God's creation, right? And then he creates the woman later, as we well know. And Adam was the one doing all the talking. Stay with me. All right? Adam was highly intelligent and was God's representative on the earth. He was the likeness of God. Not only the likeness of God, but he was the glory of God. He was the glory of God. And just like God, whatever he said, that's what it was. Stay with me. Whatever Adam said, that's what it was. Whatever Adam named it, that was its name. Whatever Adam prophesied, that's what happened. Whatever Adam called into being, that's what it was. We just read that. He brought the animals, and he brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. God didn't name them. Adam did. Now, I need you to think about how intelligent of a being you have to be to name all the animals. I need you to think about rank and file. I need you to think about the different species of insects alone. There's over 2 million just of insects. But he named every bird, every dog, every cattle. And there were probably animals that are extinct today that Adam was naming. I need you to think about how intelligent, think about how long it takes you to think of a baby name. We're obviously not operating on as high of an intellectual level that Adam was. Are y'all with me? He was never short on a name. Are you with me? So Adam was highly intelligent. He named all the animals. His language was fully developed at creation. And when he saw Eve, the Bible says that he saw that after he took Eve out of his rib and out of his side, out of the secret chambers of his body, He says that when he woke up from his sleep, he says, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And we shall become one. Is that right? We shall become one. So I need you to catch, see, because I believe all the answers are in Genesis. And I have to change your theology before I can change your attitude. And we can find out things of what God's original intention was to find out how things should be right now. Are you with me? All right. And so Adam, not only was he talkative, not only was he creative, not only was he intelligent and he was not short on words, he was also emotionally connected, which means he didn't talk to Eve the same way he talked to the animals. In other words, he didn't talk to her like she was a dog. He didn't talk to her like she had a tail. He had a different type of soliloquy or metaphors, or come on, he had some poetry. He talked to her a little different than he did when he was naming the cattle. Are you with me? In other words, he could discern the difference emotionally, like this ain't the same kind of creature here. And I can recognize her that she is different. This is my exact counterpart, because he never said to the dog or the camel or the giraffe, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But when he saw Eve, he immediately knew, even though he was asleep when she was made. He was, somebody say, emotionally connected. Check this out. Let's look at Genesis 3 and 17. So Adam was a talker. Adam was not short on words. Adam had feelings, and Adam was relational, and he did not want to be what? Alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. But we know the story. Things mess up, you know, or Eve does her thing and convinces Adam to do the same. And so God begins to correct them. And because of sin, sin brought a curse. God didn't want to curse them. God loved them. But because of sin, it brought a curse. I want you to see something here. Genesis 3 and 17 says, and when he's correcting them, you know, he already dealt with the serpent. He says, you know, you're going to eat dust. You're going to crawl in your belly. He checks Eve. We dealt with Eve's curse on last week. And I want you to catch man's curse. It says here, and unto Adam, he said, because you hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat the bread, eat bread until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. I want you to notice something here, and there's one other part there, but we'll get to it in just a second, that the ground was always Adam's job. This wasn't new. He just, because remember, and if you just turn to Genesis 2:4, just hold your finger there. They'll put it on the screen. Genesis 2:4, write it down. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth after they were created. So this is right after God created everything. And then it says, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to do what? Till the ground. So he therefore did what? He created Adam to till the ground. So tilling the ground, that was his job from the very beginning, was to till the ground. Now, this very ground that he was supposed to till from the very beginning, he's saying now this ground is cursed, and instead of tilling, you'll have to toil. Are you with me? He went from tilling to toil, same thing. In other words, the ground was supposed to help you out. It was supposed to be easy. It was supposed to be sweatless. But now, because you have failed, I have to curse your workplace. and which should have been easy and sweatless, now you will toil in it until you die. Now it's no longer working with you, it's working against you. And the interesting thing was, it says, and from it you will get bread. Well, you have to think, bread is not even like talked about being created yet. So I went to go look that word up. I'm like, why does it say bread? Because all he talks about them eating is herbs and vegetables and what have you. So where did bread come from? Well, it refers to the word grain, but the root word is war. The root word is war. So he's saying, now your workplace is going to cause you to sweat, and every time you go, it's going to be like going to war. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy anymore for you. In other words, I'm no longer able to work with you because you committed sin, and sin causes a curse. Are you with me? All right. So he went from tilling. Tilling simply means to serve. It means to work, but it's like a service. And it means to enslave. That means to enslave. But toil means worry. So instead of just going to work and serving with joy, now, because of your failure, catch this, you have to worry about providing. You have to worry about making ends meet. You have to worry about how you're going to eat. He went from tilling to toil. After the fall of man, his curse was going from tilling to toil. Man went from serving in joy to painful worry and sweat. Serving was sweatless, but sweating at work was a curse. We're high, but we can get ready to come low. Verse number 20 of that same verse, same chapter of Genesis 3. Let's read verse 20. So right after, catch this, right after this curse comes, Adam has one more name to give. He named everything else. Adam was a talker. Adam prophesied. Adam proclaimed. Adam preached. Y'all with me? And then right after God lays down what the edict is, Adam says this, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Adam calls his wife named Eve because she's the mother of all living. Now, we're talking higher level theology. Let me bring it to 2016. As Adam's job changed, he changed his wife's name. She had been with him all this time, but she was no distinction from him. His job-related curse affected the oneness of his relationship. Stay with me. His job now was going to require more attention. And therefore, what never mattered before, her individuality is now an issue. And I need you to think about something. Adam is never heard from again in the Bible after this moment. The talker, the prophesier, the one who named her, the one with a fully developed language, the one who was never short on words, the one who saw his wife and came up with wedding vows. The one who, when she walked in the room, knew who she was and would tell her what she meant to him. This person has now gone silent. We never hear Adam said ever again. I need you to think about this. Even when his kids were arguing, Cain and Abel, Adam, who lived 930 years, who was alive when Cain killed Abel, was not there when his first sons got into a murderous fight. Father was gone. Stay with me. I need you to catch this. I just did a little research. Adam lived 930 years. Let's look at this. Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2. Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2. Let's talk about this name, because the Lord brought this to my attention. He says, Adam called his name Eve. Eve did not have a name till after the fall of man. Let's read verse 1 together. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Everybody can read, right? All right, if not, we'll pray with you after service. All right. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Catch this. Male and female, he created he them and blessed them and called. Hold on. Male and female, he created them and he blessed them and he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Their name was Adam. So when he called Adam, they came. When he was talking to Adam, he was talking to them. They were one. They were in perfect unity because man was not created to be alone. But now, because of the curse, now work took over. And now my focus has to be on provision, and I have to take my focus off you. And so now you need your own name, because we're not as close as we used to be. And now Adam, who was this talkative, emotional, connected, relational man, is never heard from again. He's not involved in his kid's life anymore. Let's keep reading. Verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat his own son in his likeness. After his image, he called his name Seth, right? And Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, right? Because that's how the earth got propagated through Adam and Eve, right? So this is who Cain and Abel would have married, their sisters, right? Adam, Cain and Abel were not their first children. They were their first male children. Pay attention. Right? And why would God allow them to have a lot of daughters? Because it's the seed of a woman that's going to bruise the head of Satan. Which is why in Genesis 6, the angels came down to sleep with the women. Right? Not the message today, but just think I'd put that out there. So catch this out. They begat sons and daughters. Now, catch this. I need you to think about this. If Adam lived 930 years, Adam's last 50 years, 9 of the patriarchs of our faith were alive. He was alive when Shem was alive. He was alive when Noah was alive. And what was going on in the earth at that time, the earth was becoming very wicked to the point that God had to destroy the earth. But catch this, Adam was alive. And yet, this talkative, emotional, relational man is silent when his kids are going crazy. So, what the Lord began to tell me, he says, the men we have today that are emotionally disconnected, that don't want to talk, that don't know how to talk to their wife, not like an animal, is not because, well, that's how men are. No. That's how men had become. And that is the result of the curse. And God said, it's time for my men that have come back into the kingdom to stop acting like they're under the curse. Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet. It's quiet. It took us a while to get there, but we're going somewhere. See, catch this. Adam could have brought order when Cain and Abel got into it, right? Because Cain didn't get mad at Abel over one offering. Go back and read it and check it out. He had been mad for a long time. Remember, God was checking him before he murdered Abel, which means his heart was not right. He had issues with Abel long before the moment that it's recorded. Remember, God never said that Cain's offering was sin. He said, I don't respect your offering. I do not regard your offering. That's different than it's the wrong amount or it's not good enough. He says, I don't respect it. And anytime God says, I do not respect your offering, it's because it's not about the money. It's about the heart condition. This is why the Bible says, if you're getting ready to give your offering and you have an ought against your brother, he says what? Leave your offering, go fix your situation with your brother, then come back and give your offering. And Malachi 2 and 15, he talks to these men who are priests who are leaving their Jewish wives to go after pagan women. Put it up there for me. Not on my notes, but go ahead and put it up there. There it is. But he did not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit. And why one? He seeks a godly offspring. Check this out. He's talking. Actually, go to 13. Go to 13 so we can read it in context. All right. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard or respect your offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, why, Lord? Because I saw how you've been treating your wife, with whom you have dealt with treacherously, yet she is your companion and the wife by your covenant. Verse 15, but he didn't, why? But didn't he make you one? Didn't he make you one, having a remnant of the Spirit? Why one? Because God wants godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. In other words, what is he saying here? If you can't be in right relationship with your family, it's no point in coming up here hollering and crying. I don't even respect that. Now, what does this have to do? This means, see, because the wrong attitude in the heart of a child, a father brings order to. And Adam should have been there before Cain ever got that far. So God had to do to Cain what Adam should have done a long time ago. What happened to Adam? He was alive. What happened to Adam with Shem and all? Because Adam, catch this, was under the curse. Show my slide, verse number 11. Let's look at this comparison here. Adam, before the fall, was relationship oriented, socially interactive, emotionally expressive. He kept order. He was a talker. And his job was to till. After the fall, he's relationally incompetent, isolates himself, has no emotional discernment, does not keep order, and he becomes nonverbal, and all he does is sweat at work. You know, they say in most psychology books that men are defined by what they do, and women are defined by relationships. Our jobs are important to us. When you meet a man, he does not pull out pictures of his kids. He pulls out his business card. He asks you what you do for a living. He asks you where you graduated from. Come on. And he doesn't ask you, but he's thinking, how much do you make? Let's be real. You know, so some men, they come here and, you know, they're like, oh, visiting church or whatever. And so as soon as I come up, I'm being sized up by every man in here. Well, you know, that's a little light of a color to have on. Is that pink in his shirt? You know, right? I wonder if he's educated. Yes, I am, by the way. But because that's, fellas, am I keeping it real? We're checking it out. We want to know, do you have the capacity to lead me? I'm sizing you up. Are you? Because, but that's the you after the fall. You want to go talk to your husband. You want to, you know, have a close relationship with him. Well, babe, tell me how your day. And now he has, you know, psychologists are saying men only have so many words per day. And he used them all at work. So when he comes home and you want to talk, he don't want to talk because he already used all his words up. No, do the study. Well, how come you're talking to everybody else? You don't want to talk to me? I'm talking. You just weren't there when I was. But then he gets with his friends and he's talking. Like, he's not saying amen right now, but he's going to be hollering during the game. You're asking him for emotions, but you only see him when it comes to sports. You only see him passionate when it comes to what? He's willing to paint his face at the game, but he won't dress up for you. I know it's Father's Day. Now, I came here for this. I'm trying to help you, fellas. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4 and 7. I believe I'm just about done. Ecclesiastes 4 and 7. This is Solomon. Look at what he says here. He says, "Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companions. He has not a son nor a brother. Yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, who am I doing all this for? This is also vanity and grave misfortune." Look at it in the Bible in basic English. Look at this same one in the Bible in basic English. "It is one who is by himself. He don't have no time. He didn't have a son or brother." In other words, he don't have time for his family. "But there is no end to all his work, and he has never enough wealth. For whom then am I working and keeping myself from pleasure? This again is to no purpose and a bitter work." The Lord said to me, men that overwork and neglect their family is a direct result of the curse. Oh, it's a Selah moment. See, Eve had the same name as Adam. That's why on your wedding day, traditionally, they represent, they present the husband and the wife, and they say, "For the first time, I present before you Mr. and Mrs. O'Neill, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins, Rodriguez." I'm trying to hit everybody, right? Mr. and Mrs., how come she doesn't have a name? Why is it in traditional, catch this, when you send an invitation, you would say Mr. and Mrs. Jaron O'Neill? Doesn't mean my wife doesn't matter, but when he called their name Adam, they both answered because we're one. She takes on my identity, which is why she carries my last name. But now we live in a world where folks don't want to carry their husband's last name. We live in a world now where I want my name called because our oneness has been broken by the fall. And if you try to operate as God originally intended for man and woman to operate, you are considered Stone Age or bigoted. But God created marriage. And when you try to take the Bible out of marriage, it's like getting you without your instruction manual. And when you want to know how to operate me, you need to go to my instruction manual to find out how to deal with me, because the one who created me told you how to in the Bible. And so men now have become quiet, and that's the problem in the communities. That's the problem why police are beating folks in the street, because daddies are sitting silent while there's attitude and rage rising up in the hearts of sons. They're not there. Or they've been emasculated in their home. And when dad wants to say something, don't hit my child. Don't talk to him like that. Everybody gets a trophy. Oh, it's quiet. We almost landing. We're dropping just a little bit. We're going to bring the altitude down just a little bit. You know, we got problems because fathers are not allowed to be fathers, or they don't want to be fathers. They're isolated by themselves. Proverbs 18:1. It says this. It says, a man who isolates himself. Proverbs 18:1. A man who what? Isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. And we think, oh, men, see, this is why it's hard to have men's fellowship. Because men who were supposed to be talking and relational don't want to talk anymore. Getting them to sit and just open up and just, hey, let's get together and talk. Men never say, let's get together and talk. We think it's something wrong with that. He want to get together and talk. Hey, let's talk over coffee. Man, what? Who are you talking to? I knew I saw pink in that shirt. No. Let's be real. We never complain. You didn't call me. We think something wrong. What did he say? Man, you haven't called me in a long time. We'd be looking at him like, and? You better get over it. It's amazing how much talking he did when you were dating. And then after he got married, he didn't have two words. He was writing letters, sending text messages. Y'all was crowded up in the booth together like. And now, babe, come take a picture. Oh, babe, let's match. He wants to go be by himself. Am I talking to anybody in here? He wants to go be by himself. And we've just said, well, that's how men are. And I'm here to say that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When God created you men, he created you intelligent, full of wisdom, full of counsel. You have answers for your children. Stop putting it off on mom. It's time to awaken the fathers in here. Come on, to get back involved in your families and take that lead role that God wanted you to have. And listen, you hear Eve talking, oh, I had a son. I'm excited. What father is silent when he has a son that's born? Adam is never heard from again, and the world is running wild, and he's the one with authority. He's the one that could have turned the whole thing around. But the enemy shut the mouth of a prophet. Because he had the power of proclamation. Whatever he said, that's what it was. Whatever he called it, that's what it was. That power of proclamation is in the mouth of a man. And if there's a mess in the house, when he speaks peace to it, peace has to come. Because whatever he calls it, that's what it is. Could it be that there's an issue with families and children, and a whole generation is rising up that doesn't know who they are because a father never told them who they are? My father told me, he says, you are a man. You'll be great, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're going to be successful. You're going to be married. You're going to be a good husband. My father, before he left her, he says, I affirm you as a man. He was prophesying over me. I didn't get it then, but I get it now. Now I understand why he could ordain me in my cocoon stage. Because he was never speaking to me in my current situation. He was always speaking to my future. And that's what every man in here has the ability to do, is speak to the future of your children. Speak to the future of your wife. He named his wife. He called her and told her, you will be the mother of all living. That's what she was. That's what she was. Men, I encourage you to open your mouth. And every time there's a problem, stop saying, go ask your mom. Oh, I know I'm in it. I need to check my shoes again. I think I stepped in something. Stop passing everything off on mom when God created you to dominate. He created you to lead. He created you to rule. He created you to be great. He created you to open your mouth. Open your mouth. Say what you want it to be. Tell it how it needs to happen. No, here's what we're going to do. This is, like I said, this is why God didn't create us superly, overly emotional. Because listen, God wanted us to be emotionally connected. Go check out the chromosomes of a man. It's only one off from a woman. That means every man has a feminine side. And God put that in you for your wife. So you could have male talk and girl talk. Oh, you missed it. Why do you think you have two nipples too?
Hallelujah.
Oh, can we go further? Can we go further? A penis is just the vagina turned inside out. Some of y'all going, I'm going to go check that out. Go Google it. You have two testicles, she has two ovaries. That's why it fits so well. Somebody say Shabba. And your marriage is messed up right now because you refuse to tap into that other chromosome to connect with her. And you left it all on her, and you think all you need to do is sweat at work. Well, I'm working. Don't you understand I'm working? Girl, you always bother me. I'm working. You eating, right? Well, you don't do nothing around here. Is the water hot? Yeah, well, I did that. Are the lights on? Well, yes, that's important. God always intended for you to have a job. But if you're sweating so much, you gave your wife another name. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? If you sweat, listen, you're going to have to be on your own because I got to go over here and sweat. Well, I thought we were Adam. I don't have time for that. I love you. Then when they call Adam, Adam come running, she come too. Why are you over here? Can I give you a perfect example? I got identical twins. Their names are Cameron and Kennedy. But if I call Kennedy, guess who's coming? Cameron is without a doubt coming. She'll be a little late. She'll come in like this. And we have to tell her, we didn't call you. If we say, Kennedy, go do this, Cameron's coming too a little bit later. No, I told her, well, we were going to do it together. This is why it takes you guys so long to do everything, because you're dividing every minuscule duty. Well, I put them in the washer, so you turn on the washer. And then when I take it out, then you put it in the dryer. And since I put them in the dryer, you turn it on the dryer. It's 30 minutes to wash one load of doggone clothes. I'm like, what is going on? But see, they understand oneness because they were two. They were two, embryo that split. Identical twins are ones that split. They were never. So there's a oneness in them. So when they're gone from each other, they can say the same thing. They talk in harmony. And so that's all that check it out, Eve was. She was a part of Adam, and God pulled her out. He was A, she was B. So when you called him, you called her. When you prophesied to him, you prophesied to her. Everything he was, she was. This is why he says, love your life like Christ loved the church. And he says, and gave himself for her, and that she was his own body. Oh, come. And let's not forget this. God said, was it Ezekiel? He says, look at these dead bones. Was that Ezekiel? Remember the dead bones, the valley of dead bones? And he says, look at all these dead bones. And the Lord said, can these bones live again? And God said, prophesy to these bones. And in the vision, the prophecy says that the bones came together because they were prophesied to. The Bible says pleasant words are health to your bones. And last time I checked, the wife is a bone. She's rib. And the reason things ain't moving and connecting, the reason these things, your marriage looks dead, is because Adam has not prophesied to his bones. Are y'all catching this?
Yes.
Fathers, you have the power of proclamation. You have the ability to declare a thing, and it shall be. Tap into your Adam anointing. Tap into your garden anointing. Name everything in the house. Stop cussing them kids out. Stop calling her a bee. That's why she keep acting like it. She don't have no choice because you keep speaking it over her.
Yes.
Stop calling her fat. That's why she's staying fat, because you keep prophesying it over her. Stop calling her lazy and dumb and talking to her like she got a tail. Stop calling them kids dumb, even though they are really good actors. You're not dumb, but you show act well. It's hard. Like, are you? We need to get you tested. I just want to awaken a revival this Father's Day for the fathers to be fathers, for men to be men, not as the world has tried to dictate to you, but as God originally intended. See, I need you to change your attitude, because now you have no theology to support the old one. It's not scripturally based for men to be quiet. It's not scripturally based for men to not say anything and for men to be isolated. He says a man who isolates himself is only interested in his own opinion. Yeah. You know what? I don't even want to talk no more. Yeah. Satanic. Yeah. You know what? Just miss me and all that. I don't want to hear all that talking. Satanic. Yeah. It's a form of manipulation and control to stonewall. Right. It's one of the number one reasons of divorce is going silent. Lift those hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As the father of this house, I prophesy and decree over the men in this house. I loose their tongue in the name of Jesus. I loose their tongue. They'll no longer bite their tongue because they feel like they have no right to say anything. And every demonic word spoken over them, every emasculating statement against them, I break the power of it. I break the curse of the curse. We have been translated into the kingdom of light. They're no longer going to get tongue-tied when they're ready to express themselves. They're never going to be at a loss of words when it's time to be emotional. Even when they go before interviews and need to express themselves at work, they're going to know what to say. And that man, those men that are in here that are so worried about making ends meet, I thank you, Lord, that you'll move them back into a sweatless service. They will no longer be so caught up that they have no sons and no relationship. They'll not be so consumed with money that they have nobody to give it to. You're turning it around. Everybody connected. You're turning it around in families and homes. In the name of Jesus. And women of God, allow him to speak. Be quiet long enough for him to step back into his rightful place. And Lord, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Lord, lift the regret off of the hearts of those who feel like they got this information too late. Yes. Those whose relationships may have already ended. Those who look in hindsight and see this was the problem. I wish I would have known this. Yes. Father, lift that regret. We give those broken situations to you. We give those dead bones to you. We cancel every negative word that's still lingering in the atmospheres of our homes. We cancel them in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we believe you for revival this week, we declare revival in families and homes and in the hearts of men. The hearts of fathers. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember that faith comes from hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize that I have sinned and I need a Savior to save me from myself, to save me from my past, to save me from hurt and pain. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and he got up from the grave. So I invite Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Today, I make a commitment to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you are saved by the confession of your faith. Now it's time for you to get planted in a church home. So I would like to invite you to come worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. For further information, please visit our website at www.allinthefountain.com or simply reference the information found at the bottom of this CD. God bless you. I hope to see you soon. And remember, everything you need is in the fountain.